From what I understand, basically, if you double hit it, whether it's intentional or unintentional, the point's just over now. It just doesn't count, which is going to ruin Jack Monroe's career.
That clip he put up, we'll clip this out, but of him doing the around the back, I've never seen that before. That was pretty sick, but that would be illegal now.
You hate to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, all right, you ready to jump into it?
And send it. That's probably bad for the algorithm, huh?
Yeah, bleep it out.
All right, we're not going to start with that.
I mean, I don't know. We haven't been flagged yet, so I think it's. I think we're in the clear. After that, though, I read something where it's like you just can't swear within the first like 5 minutes or something, which is like a weird. But we just broke that, so.
Oh, were we actually recording it? We're actually going to go with it.
Let's. All right, Jamie.
Let's bleep that one out.
Yeah, make sure.
We'll bleep the.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we bleep the first swear? Because my guy Sean from Stop Alzheimer's Now is just on me like a hawk. He listens to every single one. He sends me the report of what I owe after every single one. Uh-huh. He also sends. He doesn't even let me review it before he sends it over to Pro XR and Game Plus for their matching, too. He just sends it. He could be making this all up for as much as we know.
I'm going to blindside you. Is Riley about to sign with Pro XR?
Yeah, we were just talking about that a second ago. No, I have no idea. I legitimately have no idea. It looks like he's playing with. Looks like he's going to play with the Pro XR paddle this week. He's been playing with it.
You don't get the inside scoop from your boys over there?
I mean, I've pretty good inside scoop, but I don't know in this case.
All right, interesting.
Kind of would make sense. I mean, it would fit. I think it would fit his game pretty well. Like, you know, he wants the long handle, put two hands on it. Like, it's a bomb paddle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Jamie.
I mean, we're back at it, boys. This week, here we are, Canton O'Donnell here, tuning in with the Dink and Pickle Pod. But yeah, we're back to playing pickleball this week. Are you guys excited?
Hell yeah.
I played this weekend.
I saw a clip. I got tagged on Instagram.
I literally tagged you just because I wanted you to see.
I was like, this, okay, normally when the Dink tags me in something, it's like, okay, usually I'm in it.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I did.
It was a long clip.
You had the first point, you got cooked.
Yeah.
The second point, it was against Ryan, right?
Uh-huh.
Pickleballed. You had a little middle backhand, which, get your backhand out of there. What are you doing? That was not yours.
My partner should take that?
Oh, yeah, easily. You were like 75% of the way over the, okay, maybe 60% of the way over.
He jumped off the court to try and Ernie.
Well, anyway, it was a nice little flick behind Ryan with your backhand off the bounce. I was very impressed using the Orlando Squeeze Pro XR paddle too. Yeah, it looked good.
Grit lets me carve it.
That looked nice. I'm surprised. How much are you playing these days?
That's about it. Yeah,
you just got to make sure the camera's rolling when you are playing.
That was the first time I played around here in three, four months.
Holy crap!
Yeah, last thing I did was like a tournament over at Pickle Ranch, and then I haven't played around here like at all.
Huh.
But dude, that's because somebody doesn't invite me to play. But now he's seen that I have like some pretty legit game, and maybe I'll get an invite.
Well, I think I need to see the entire thing. You know, I think I need to judge not just one point. It was a nice point, right? But even Jack Monroe gets good clips sometimes.
That was 2 points, dude.
The first one you got bagged.
I beat you in singles.
That's just wrong. We're just throwing out fake shit. All right, I respect it. We're here for just fake news.
Flip that, but without Zane's response.
Well, on to a little more serious topics. We have the new PPA format with the progressive draw. I guess not new, it was at Nationals. But before we get into the seeding and everything that's going on there, you guys want to just take a few minutes to talk about your opinions of the progressive draw?
First, the paddle giveaway is still live. This is the last episode. Comment, like the episode, subscribe, and then we'll announce the winner next week. But is it progressive or progression?
Progressive.
Is it?
It's very open-minded.
Progression draw? Yeah.
I thought it was progressive. I don't know.
Can you explain it to me like I'm five?
a progressive shin draw.
Yes.
Basically, you play one event over multiple days. And it's actually something we've talked about previously on the podcast. But essentially, like, your round of 32 could be on Wednesday. Your round of 16 could be on Thursday. Your quarterfinals on Friday. Your semifinals on Saturday. And your finals on Sunday. And you run three tournaments, singles, doubles, and mixed, at the same time. So let's say you'll play one or two matches in each draw until you lose. So you would really only have one singles match per day or one doubles match per day.
Right.
But you could be playing in three events on the same day.
Hmm.
So basically you work through the tournament. Rather than finishing an entire event in one day, you finish it over the course of several.
Right.
So that's the progressive progression. Now we need Jamie. You got to pull that up.
I thought it was progression draw, but I've seen progressive now recently too. So I think
progression is what they're posting on pickleball.com.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Do you like that? Have you played an event like that yet?
I actually didn't play nationals, but I think it makes the most sense because, you know, when we, I think we've spoken about this on the pod before, but people will come up to me when I'm playing or, you know, at a tournament, and they'll be like, well, what time do you play? I'll be like, well, I start at 10, and then I have no freaking idea after that.
Right.
So it's good because, you know, okay, my men's singles is at 9 a.m., my mixed doubles is at 1, and my men's doubles is at around 4 or something like that. So I think it's good. I think it allows players to better plan their day, right? Sometimes I will have played a match and I don't know whether my next match is going to be in 10 minutes or 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you can't really eat during that period of time. Like, you can't sit down and have a meal unless you're J-Dub and you're just pounding Chipotle between every match. But I think it's good. I think it allows you to promote the different matchups because you have a day to then create all the social media graphics and whatnot, sort of build it up. I mean, I think that the progression draw is very, very much needed.
Okay. And so why is this necessarily news? Because they did it at Nationals.
Well, I think the news... Was it not an
assumption they were doing that moving forward?
No, I think the news is that they're doing it very differently now, right? So Nationals was what? It was maybe a 64 or 32 draw. Well, now we have a 128 draw, but the top 16 seeds get three buys.
Yeah, right.
They get buys to the round of 16, right? Yep. So you could have a player who's essentially, what they've done is they've taken qualifying and they've backed it up. And instead of qualifying, you're just in the round of 128, and then you have to win multiple matches to get to the place where the PPA players are, right? Essentially.
So it's three wins.
Yeah.
To get into the PPA draw, essentially.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I think effectively that's what it is.
And what we're seeing is, and why the people are talking about it is because it's a small group of teams or players that would actually be given those three buys. And so there's a lot of top players who are now going to have to fight through to actually make it into the main draw.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a, you know,
right?
16, if there's only 16 seeded players, you know, I think we saw some tweets about people are getting hosed, right? Nunnery said in mixed, Mary Brascia and Gabe Tardio aren't a top 16, but they got stripped of their bye for Leung and Jeannie Bouchard, who by points should have been 28th.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's a massive advantage to be a high seed, like way more than it previously was. Three buys?
I mean, I guess, but at the same time, it's sure. I just think the optics are really bad. Like, just call it qualifying, I think. You know, but maybe they can't do that because they've promised some of these MLP players that they can be in the main draw.
Right. Interesting. You think it's like a workaround?
Possibly, but it looks bad, man. It looks, to have a draw where you know, some of these teams are getting 3-4 buys. It just looks awful. Just call it qualifying. And then you saw the qualifying. It's the exact same thing as qualifying, but it looks so much worse.
Yeah. Okay, so Rob Nunnery tweeted, the sacrificial lamb in the mixed at the PPA Tour event is the 16 seed Mary Brasha and Gabe Tardio. For their hard work earning points, they are stripped of their double bye for 28 seed Leung and Jeannie Bouchard. Curious to see if Tyler slash Jeannie get over under 6 points that one match. So he's saying that essentially Leung and Jeannie have been given the better seed, even though Brasha and Tardio are probably more deserving of it.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't even know if Jeannie is, we've never seen her play.
Do you think there's anything, obviously, like, it's probably not fair to Mary and Gabe, but they're running a business, right? You don't want Jeannie Bouchard to go out in the round of 128.
Yep. This is going to be my take.
Okay, go for it. Go ahead, share your take. Any point here, we're waiting.
I mean, we always talk about viewership, right? We always talk about drawing in more eyeballs. Jeannie Bouchard is a bigger draw. She creates more intrigue. She's going to drive more interest. Somebody is upset in the... I mean, this is a soundproof studio, and somehow we're hearing things through the wall right now.
I think there's a homeless person fight outside, legitimately.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I don't know if the listeners can hear it, but it sounds pretty crazy. Anyway, yeah, so, okay, I think the PPA
that's
should
a lot
be...
more interesting. Dude, turn your mic around towards the...
Should we pick that up?
okay, back
professional
to...
Professional pod.
Yeah.
Professional pod. I think that I would, if I'm the person putting together this, I'm definitely doing the exact same thing. I want Jeannie in as many matches as possible. I think the more exciting players, like, there's always going to be people who complain that it's unfair. I'm in the camp of put the best talent on the court, put the best product on the court that will engage viewers and drive the most eyeballs. So that's how I feel about it. I don't think it's too crazy to put them in that seed. So it's not like it's egregious, right? But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... In this tournament, you could say, well, we thought Jeannie was going to be really good because she's, you know, there's at least some sort of, you know, ability to defend your stance. Like, Tyler's a really good mixed player, and we think he's going to fit in really well with Jeannie.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the real objective being, like, we need to get them some TV time. And I don't have a... I think both sides are probably right. Like, I'd be pissed if I was Mary and Gabe, but also... I understand it.
Wait, so this is interesting. The committee spots. So whoever put together the sheet, so they added a quote. So this is from Dave Fleming. A committee choice. So if there's, it's up to committee choice. If there's an up and coming player, like one of these tennis stars, and they get hot, they'll be able to send them into the draws in that 13 or 14th spot, which is what we're seeing here, right?
Yeah, I guess I didn't know about this.
So they're acknowledging. They're acknowledging, right? Like, they're not, like, hiding the fact that it's like, yeah, if there is an interesting player, we're going to move him up.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I think some tournaments, tennis tournaments, do that. Most of the tennis tournaments, I think there's one Grand Slam, and I think it's Wimbledon. I think there's one Grand Slam that seeds players based on sort of like their perceived power rankings, and the rest of them go strictly based on ATP rankings.
Yeah.
And now there's wild cards. I would say that this is effectively a wild card into the PPA draw, mm-hmm. right? And now you have the essential qualifying being the 128, 64, and 32, and they're getting a wild card into the main draw,
right.
Which is the... I feel like we just need to come up with new words for what to describe this as.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit confusing. But other teams who have lost out because of this, Etta Wright and Pablo Tellez, Caitlin Kerr made the point that Travis Rettenmeier and Roscoe Bellamy were the 16th seed before getting booted for Jack Sock and Colin Schick. But again, like, I want to see Jack Sock play. Like, I'm going to tune in for that. You're not going to not put Jack Sock into the round of 16. And then Jade Kawamoto and DJ Young are another team. So, yeah, I don't know. As long as they acknowledge it, they're just like, yeah, we want to put people who are the most interesting on the court. I get it.
Yeah. No,
if I try and hide it and massage it, then it's like, come on.
Yeah, as long as they're open enough. Just own it. Yeah, own it. Just own it. I don't really have a problem with it. Obviously, if I was in that spot, I'd be pissed off, but I don't know. What can you do?
Jamie?
I don't know. Pretty interesting. I think, I don't know. I agree with both of your guys' points, but just being the first tournament out of the gate and with seeding being so important moving forward, I think it's a little interesting that there's just so much discrepancy on it. I guess another big announcement for Palm Springs is Lee Waters is back. What do you guys think?
Finally. Welcome back, Mama Waters. I'm a big fan of her. I wanted to see her back in. I don't know. We'll see how she does. I think she's only coming back in for mixed, though, so she's not playing women's as of yet. At least we haven't seen.
Just no, Christian.
Yeah, I wonder if she's going to... I wonder how much she's been playing. I think there's a lot of unknowns. Like, obviously, she's still going to be able to ball.
Yeah.
Although, who knows? You know, having a ACL surgery has got to be pretty brutal on your movement going forward.
Definitely.
But I don't know. I've never had one.
I have. So.
You have?
Yeah. Tore my ACL and meniscus. Not fun.
Oh, shit.
It's more of the mental block than anything. Now, to this day, this was 10 years ago maybe, if I'm watching any sport on TV, if somebody cuts, anytime somebody goes up for a rebound in basketball or they shoot and the defender's on them, all I can think about is them landing awkwardly and tearing their ACL. It's like, and when I'm playing, I'm thinking the same thing. Anytime I do something athletic, I cannot jump off of one foot anymore. I have to jump off with two. It's like a mental hurdle. So I feel like that's the biggest block. You can rehab back to full strength, but you always have that mental block. But yeah. I mean, in pickleball, it's not that. Like, you can, it's pretty safe in pickleball, I feel like. Unless you're going for like crazy Ernie or something.
Fair. How did she actually bust it? Was it in a tournament somewhere, or was it just
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes you can, like, with an ACL or a meniscus, it can happen and you can just keep playing through it.
There's, I know, meniscus, you can play through it pretty decently.
Yeah.
But I think Matt Wright's got some, I think he told me once he's got some torn meniscus. And if he doesn't, it just sure looks like it.
Rob Nunnery does.
Does he really? And he's playing through it?
Yeah, like last year, yeah. No, I think he got it repaired.
Yeah, he got it repaired.
Yeah.
Meniscus isn't that bad of a recovery, right? ACL and MCL are a lot worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meniscus is pretty non-invasive, quick recovery. ACL is like 6 months. And it's like a brutal rehab process.
Yeah, yikes. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
No, there's a bunch of like NFL players who they retired and then they got MRIs and they're like, oh, you were playing with two torn ACLs your entire career, but their legs are so strong that it basically served the purpose of an ACL. So on your body type, like, you don't necessarily need the ACL.
Okay, I feel like I need I feel like I need my ACL. I'm gonna keep mine.
Well, I mean, last time I got an MRI, they were like, "Yeah, you should get your ACL repaired again." I'm like, I don't wanna. So
make me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Lee and Alshon are sitting at the 26th seed at the very back of the bracket, so they're gonna have to get two games just to get up to the 28th seed, Bouchard and Leung. So that'll be an interesting fight to get through.
I feel like that's good for them, though, right? Like, with Lee, I bet you if they argued or protested a little bit, like, Christian's obviously a beast in mixed. Lee was a beast in mixed. If they had argued, I bet you they could have gotten to the top 16. But for that team, I would think you'd want to play some matches leading into it.
Yeah. Get some reps.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that pairing, though, because Christian can kind of just go off, play super aggressive, be the alpha. Mm-hmm. Lee just plays her solid game there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of chemistry there.
Yeah. What else we got, Jamie?
Well, as a result, the race for points is back to ground zero, so all of this will come into effect and obviously affect seeding. I don't think there's much there. They put it on pickleball.com to start tracking again, so that'll be interesting. But it seems like we're going to start tracking something pretty unique here at the Dink as well. regarding the paddle race. You want to talk about that, Thomas?
Yeah, let's do this. Did you look at? Don't look at the sheet. Are you looking at it?
I was just about to pull it up, but I won't.
Don't do it.
Mid coffee.
Haven't looked at it. All right. Let me turn this away.
Saw that.
See it. Okay. What of all the paddle brands out there, which paddle brand do you think has the most active signed pros?
What is a signed pro? We need
like
definition.
Like top 100 pro.
Top 100. So that's like. So that's APP, MLP, PPA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go Selkirk.
What's your number two?
Yola.
What's your number three?
Engage.
What's your number four?
Pro XR.
You looked at the sheet.
No, I didn't.
And I think I think Yola.
Did I really?
I think Yola's one, Selkirk's two, but they're basically dead even.
It was this pre or post Deckel and Tyson switching over?
That's updated.
This is post, yeah.
Okay, so maybe I was correct from before. I swear to God, I didn't look at it.
Okay, yeah, so then Engage is three, which I would not have guessed. I guess I didn't realize how prevalent they are. Yeah, Pro XR, four. Who do you think is five and six?
After five and six, it gets tough. Let's see. Who am I missing?
What brand is PIKKL?
That's a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's Tyra's, the one that Tyra swings.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Mike.
She swings it.
Mike and David from up in Minnesota, my boys. Let's see. Is PIKKL isn't fifth, are they?
No. They have three. So they have Tyra, Gabe Tardio, and Krista
Getcheva.
Thanks, Jamie.
I think, you know, there's a couple pros with Franklin, but really not anybody outside of J-Dub and them. Let's see. Let me look. Okay, hold on. Onyx is probably a top 10, but not much better. Not much more. I bet you they're in there like 8, 9 somewhere.
It used to be everybody. I feel like they probably at one point were like number one.
Paddle Tech's still probably in there.
Yep.
Let's see.
Got the women on lockdown.
Gearbox is probably like, I bet you they're like 10, 11, 12, something like that.
Is Gearbox on here?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Jamie.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't see Gearbox on here. Yeah, okay, so let's go.
I'm gonna call it quits after that. I think I did pretty good. I'm gonna look at it now.
Yeah, so Yola, Selkirk, Engage.
Oh, see, Pro-XR. I couldn't even have it if I wanted it. I gotta request access. See, look at that.
Yeah.
I tried to look.
That's right. Onyx and Paddle Tech, Franklin and Gamma.
Forgot about Gamma.
And then yeah, kind of just like spread out across all the others. Yeah, interesting. I mean, Paddle Tech and Onyx used to be much bigger. Franklin, obviously. Let's see if there's any other surprise. Adidas on there with their one pro. yeah. Okay. So let's. How about this? End of 2024. What would you say your top five is?
My what?
After there's like shuffling around.
My top five list by the end of this year for the paddle brands.
Well, let's go one more year out, 2025.
At the end of 2025?
Yeah.
I don't know, you first.
It's still going to be Selkirk and Yola. Sounds like Pro XR is trying to sign some pros. They're trying to get into the mix.
So the nice thing is Pro XR really isn't signing pros. We don't have too many signed players. It's just players
you know what?
Using it.
Our mistake. We included Riley and Lindsay in Pro XR speculation, so they're highlighted here.
Okay,
so
well,
Pro XR is actually
technically CJ's not even signed, I don't think.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people who just like using the Pro XR.
Yeah.
So I think that speaks volumes. You know, Selkirk, Yola, they can spend all the money they want, but Pro XR's only got a handful of players that they pay.
I tried playing with that gearbox. It is something. The sound is bizarre. Like, it's uncomfortable to play with. And I couldn't the ball just flies off the paddle. Like, it, for my forehand, I have to kind of, like, you know how I set that one off the...
It kind of flies off the paddle even when you're using a soft Yola.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Perseus, where it's like, if you catch it in the sweet spot, the thing just absolutely goes flying.
For those who, really don't know what we're talking about, my favorite clip of Thomas playing ever, he is at the Pickle Ranch, and he's got this forehand. We're going to have to get this clip on here. He's got a forehand... relatively easy ball, and he sends it like damn near over the fence. He misses this thing.
Oh, no, not damn near.
Was it actually over the fence?
It went off the parking garage.
Oh, jeez. Well, and then he's telling me in the next podcast, he's like, yeah, you know what? I didn't come over it enough. And he was dead serious. He's like, that one, just a little too much pop. I didn't come over it. I just, like, I think that thing would have... that thing would have gone a million times farther with a gearbox. I just, yeah, I need to see that clip again. That needs to resurface on social.
I've got a pretty big wind up though. I really go for it. I try and like rip the forehand. So I'm a little bit different. I recognize that. I acknowledge that. Try and bring back the tennis forehand.
And you basically can these days.
With the Pro XR, I can. That's damn why, right. That's why we're Team Pro XR. Non-paid endorsement.
Let's go.
All right, Jamie, what do we got next?
Well, just to follow up on that, what are we doing with all that paddle data?
I actually don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
So
day two on the job, and I know more. This is great news.
All right, we'll fill us in.
We will be tracking the paddle usage and wins throughout the entire year, just kind of like F1 does with the cars, to associate and figure out which paddle is truly winning the most at the tournament. So
that's a cool idea. Who came up with that?
I believe that was Alina.
All right, I like it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You should control it for Duper, too, and, like, base that off of something, right? Because, obviously, if you have a certain... it'd be interesting to see if you have a certain... if paddles can help somebody's performance...
I think it absolutely can.
Or, well, it can, or hurt it, right? So, obviously, if you have somebody who's playing at the pro level that's a male and they're, like, a 6.0, and they're using a... it doesn't matter what they're going to use, like they're not going to win enough. But like, I think the interesting part is Ben could play with pretty much anything. Obviously he's with Yola. Is that more of a statement about the paddle or about Ben? Right? I think you should attempt to control it for Duper, right? So if a player who's a 6.0 has this percentage of wins, that might be more meaningful. Even if that percentage is only 15% of wins, that might be more meaningful than somebody who's a 6.7 duper and winning 75% of their matches.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's other things you could look at that in conjunction with.
Nice word, dude. Conjunction?
Conjunction is an easy word, bro. Sick. You're an MBA. You never heard conjunction?
I've heard conjunction. You know, it's a flex. We get it.
And you didn't answer the previous question. You asked me the question of which paddles are going to be the most prominent by the end of 2025.
Yeah, maybe the better question would have been like, what paddle brand that doesn't have a ton of pros will have a ton of pros around then, right? And to me, okay, I'm looking at Vulcan as like, all right, they're ready to spend some money. And actually, someone commented and I got a text too that I forgot this happened, but Vulcan, their parent company, Tanners, was acquired by this baseball company you were talking about. And anytime there's an acquisition, that means they see potential, they're ready to infuse some capital and make some moves, which helps us to better understand why they're willing to go pay that big contract for the ball. And I would expect that they try and go after some pro players and bolster their roster a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Pro XR too, but apparently you're saying that they're not out in the market actively trying to get pros, but I don't know, they seem to be making the most moves of late, or just making the most, making the biggest waves. I think they've kind of come out of nowhere, and I don't know, well, we're seeing pros opt to play with them.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, at the end of the day, you make a good paddle, the unsigned players are going to play with it. I think this data shows a lot for Pro XR.
How long is your contract?
I got a lifetime contract, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, good for you.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you. I'm stoked.
Contract.
Here's a wild one for you. Obviously, they're trying to pick up pros all over in the paddle industry. But do you see any of the paddles actually going for up and comers that you think will become pro? Essentially, is anyone actually out there like trying to source and look at the new talent? Any specific companies?
I mean, the company that does the best with that is Selkirk. They have ambassadors all over the place.
Yeah, but I mean, is that are they good at scouting talent, or do they just sign everyone?
No, I just think it's they cast a wide net. Right?
Sure,
I'm not. Yeah.
I think you know I have an interesting take on this, and I think that data analytics and pickleball analytics is coming to pickleball, and I think one of the first applications of it is not even necessarily going to be helping players with improving their game, but figuring out the attributes and figuring out how to scout talent. I think that one of the biggest users of pickleball analytics is going to end up being paddle companies looking to sign up-and-coming players.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that a almost like a GM for these different paddle companies is just as valuable, if not more, than a GM for some of these MLP teams.
Yeah.
For MLP, you're with them for 6 months to a year, but you might be signing a 2-3 year contract with these paddle companies.
Right.
So I mean, I think it's when you're signing people, you're signing them pricing in their ability for growth.
Right.
Right. Certain players get really big contracts right away because you think they're going to be good, of course, which makes some sense.
That's what the movie Air is about.
Air. I don't know this movie.
The Jordan movie, like Ben Affleck, and it's about, you know, and Matt Damon, and they're scouting Michael Jordan, and they sign him to the contract, and he's sort of you know, they're making a big bet on him, and then it makes Nike and Jordan into what it is, right? But
I didn't know this movie.
In this, like, in terms of like signing the up and coming talent, the advantage goes to the brands who already have the most active signed pros, because how do a lot of pros or up and comers get contracts? They text their friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just by way of having more people signed to your brand, it's more likely that you'll get more looks at up-and-comers, just purely a volume play, right?
Yeah, I can see it. Doesn't mean that that's maybe the correct way to do it, but that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Well, like when you first got into pickleball, how'd you get your first contract?
My first contract was with ProLite. They paid for two of my entry fees, and they gave me some free paddles and clothes, and I was so stoked. But they're a Wisconsin-based company, so they were the first composite pickleball paddles. They're the first ones that moved from wood to whatever we have now, like plastic and stuff.
Yeah,
and they moved from either like Washington to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I would play games with the owners.
They're like an OG brand. I feel like they could be, you could revamp that brand into something that's very cool, just leaning on the legacy of it.
I think so. I mean, they still make very good paddles. Yeah, it's a nice little made in the USA company out of Wisconsin.
Were they the first ones to use the materials from like Boeing? I think so.
I don't know about that. Maybe. I can't recall. But basically I knew the owner. And then the second contract, I moved from there to Onyx. And it was because I knew, I think, Althoff and Cassandra Gerke were with Onyx. I suppose it is just... But at that point, it was... When I was signing these contracts, that was 2019 and 2020. That was... You kind of had to just know somebody at that point.
Yeah, well, now, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. Now, if you just break through to the pro scene, people will know you. And before, it was, okay, this is a good player. He plays tournaments around the Midwest and he wins some stuff, right? Now it's like you get attention because you're playing on the national stage mm-hmm. every single week. That just didn't exist a couple of years ago. So the way that you used to get sponsorships is certainly different than the way it is now, but
mean, I think a lot of it's just showing up. I mean, you start seeing all these little kids as well, like that kid Jack with Yola, a few others. Selkirk's doing a lot of youngsters, so yeah. That'll be interesting.
My boy Leo Chun over with Franklin, too.
Yeah.
Legend.
That was one of my favorites at Nationals, is there was actually like a massive poster of one of the little kids. Mm-hmm. And it's yeah, like, okay, right. Here we go. Coming up here in 2024, Zane, you've listed some predictions.
Yeah.
Go through some of these?
Sure. Yeah, Tommy, you have any, before you read mine, which you probably already have, do you have any hot takes or predictions for 2024?
No.
None.
But as you read through yours, I'll come up with some. I want to hear your first bullet point, which is another tour emerges, which is interesting.
I think we're going to keep having more and more competitors in this, right? I've said it for a while. You know, I think the Pickle Four stuff could be looking into making a bigger investment, right?
And Pickle Four, they're the ones who bought the U.S. Open. I believe they acquired the Pickler, it's like a website and newsletter. Stacey mm-hmm. Townsend does that, and she does like instructional content. So they acquired like this media arm. They acquired a major pro event in the U.S. Open. I know they were
making
the ballpark. They're the ones mm-hmm. who do the ballpark series, and I know they raised a bunch of money and have big plans for what they're going to be doing in pickleball. Mm-hmm. So I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're backed, I believe, by Fenway Sports Groups, which is obviously owns the Boston Red Sox, I believe, and they yep. have a lot of money.
Yeah. No, they have some. They have some big names.
I think they purchased some soccer teams too. Doesn't Fenway own some soccer teams? I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. So I don't think we're going to see the end of tour wars for a while. The barrier to entry is still quite low. I would not be surprised to see another tour.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think this year is the year we're going to see a lot more injuries, and particularly, I think, wrist injuries.
Okay.
So I think players are working more and more, playing more and more, and, you know, the game is getting so much more competitive. Everybody's going to need to be putting in more court time, pushing their bodies to the limit. I think we're going to see some injuries, and I think we're going to see some wrist injuries. Everybody pretty much is playing with now carbon fiber paddles, where you can be really spinning those balls. You're getting used to using your wrist a little bit more. I also think that this Vulcan ball, it feels a little heavy. Like, for me, my wrist has been hurting the last couple of days playing with the Vulcan ball. So I think 24 is going to be the year of the wrist injury.
I just saw one of your next bullet points, and it kind of made me laugh. But yeah, I could see that. If there's going to be wrist injuries, probably going to be elbow injuries too. People just trying to get... I always think of Jack Sock and how wristy he is with his shot. Like, I think about him when I'm hitting forehands and trying to get that wrist action. And if you can get that wrist action, like, at the net, you can surprise people with your speed there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. Ben Johns is the opposite of that, right? Like, when I remember taking a clinic with him early, and he would always say, you know, you hinge at the shoulder, very smooth. Like, your arm is one piece, right? Especially mm-hmm. for dinking and stuff. But as soon as you're back at the baseline, having that extra wrist action in pickleball can have a huge impact on just improving your velocity.
Yeah. Well, there are certain shots you want to use your wrist on. There are certain shots you absolutely don't want to use your wrist on.
Yeah.
Really, if you're dinking, you're not usually using your wrist unless you're really hitting an aggressive roll dink. But even Ben, you know, when he's hitting those flicks, he's using his wrist like crazy. Yeah. Like,
right.
He drops his wrist down real nice and low on some of those forehand rolls too.
All right, USAP moves to drop serve only.
I think USAP is going to get rid of the regular serve. I think we're seeing the serve continue to get dumbed down, which is and not used as a weapon. If we're following that logic, we might as well dumb it down even more and go to the drop serve only.
Right.
And also, I think it's just a much, much more effective rule. It makes sense. You can enforce it. So I think USAP is going to move to the drop serve only. Yeah, it's just a hunch.
Should I start working on my drop serve?
Sure. It's not that, it's, I mean, it's pretty easy to pick up. You don't need to like work on it a ton.
Well, okay. Going back to you playing with the Vulcan ball, I think we talked about it maybe a little bit on the last episode, but what's your general take on a ball? You said it plays a little bit heavier.
It kind of feels like it's more impact on the, so it, you know, in tennis, they have the term of like a heavy ball, which the ball isn't actually any, have more weight to it, but the way that it plays has more impact. If somebody's hitting a ton of topspin towards you, they say that they're hitting a heavy ball.
Okay.
So the ball feels heavy. I don't think it's any actual, there's not more weight to it, to my knowledge.
Got it.
But feels like it's more impact when you're hitting it. So it plays pretty fast and pretty spinny. It does seem to have some problems going out of round, at least in my experience over the last few days.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
And when it goes out of round, it's like, it can be rough.
Yeah.
Because it spins more than a Dura, it seems like. And so when it's spinning more, I feel like it's more likely to catch one of those sort of corners or edges once it's been out of round.
Nasty kicks.
Yeah. The kicks, that's the hardest thing. Returning with this ball has been brutal. Like Deckel's serve, I feel like I return Deckel's serve money. Like Deckel's serve legitimately doesn't give me problems in with a Dura. And recently, like, it's been kicking everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, he's had some that are kicking way over my over my paddle, some that are kicking downwards, which just doesn't work.
We'll see what happens this weekend with this new provisional serve rule where he can't get up the way he previously did.
Yeah, but now he's hitting topspin because he has to. Before, he just kind of hit flat. I think the serve rule is actually going to be a good change for Deckel because it's going to force him to hit some topspin. What do you think? If you are the czar of pickleball, what are you doing for serving? How do you make the players serve?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're just sort of beating around the bush, and we keep trying to change the rule little by little by little to neutralize the serve. Eventually, I think to your point, they just have to go, okay, we're done with that. It's drop serve only. That would be the cleanest way to end all the discrepancies. But I think it's just going to take some time to get there.
Fair. Or we could do my suggestion from last time.
Which is?
Remember I told you about real tennis?
Remind me. I remember telling me about real tennis, but I don't remember the serve component.
The origin of the term serve came from real tennis, where the king's servant throw the ball in.
Yes.
And they would say serve.
Oh, so
and so now I think we just have to have Don Stanley
like
feed the ball in.
No, it's like you have your own caddy, right? Like I'll be your caddy on tour. And I'll come with you, and I'll do all your serves for you, and then just get off the court.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right, you think pro tennis players are going to underperform and win zero gold. Gold, yeah, I could see that. But I do think we'll see some medals here and there.
Yeah, I think the only one that has a real chance of medaling would be Jack and Catherine.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it depends on where we sort of like draw the line as like tennis versus pickle. Like, is Rettenmeier, you know?
No, I'm talking like
the new
Jack Sock, Jeannie Bouchard. I mean, this is mostly talking about Jack Sock.
Yeah.
I think he had his peak for a little while back in North Carolina.
Right.
Like him and Anna Lee won it. I don't think Jack wins a gold this year. I think he's going to get figured out, and I think he's going to get a lot better, obviously. But I think him and the others are, and I kind of want to be wrong. Jack Sock was like my favorite player in tennis,
really,
and he was. And I wanted to see him do well. But I feel like in men's doubles in particular, mixed is he can have more success. I think in men's doubles he's gonna underperform, and I don't think any of those other tennis players are going to be. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm pretty low on Jeannie Bouchard until she proves me otherwise. I have no evidence to point to her being a good pickleball player.
There we go. Would you play with her?
Yeah, dude. You kidding? Take whatever I can get.
Even the Versix paddle?
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard of Versix before either, and she's playing with a Versix paddle.
I think it's the Pickleball Central brand, isn't it? They made their own paddle, I believe.
She's playing with just like the in-house brand?
It's like the Kirkland
Yeah, right. Yeah, but you know what they say, but like Kirkland vodka, Kirkland golf balls, like they're pretty good. Like Kirkland actually can put together a decent product. Versix, I've never even seen one. I don't know.
They're in the Pickleball Central booth. You've probably walked past it. It looks like every other carbon fiber paddle.
Got it.
Do we know if Tyra and Christian are playing together this year? Because my prediction was Tyra and Christian. I literally just wrote, Tyler and Christian become a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's a very hot take, but like, I think those are the two probably quickest ascending players, and I think that they should team up.
Yeah.
Because I think they could be a regular medal stand team by the end of this year.
Yeah.
They're
also a fun team to watch. Mm-hmm. Just both their play styles.
For sure.
Yeah. I could see that.
I think they're kind of similar to like a James and Anna in a way, where they've come through and they have very high level tennis backgrounds, but I think they play slightly more unconventionally than James and Anna. I think you could see some real good battles between James and Anna and Tyra and Christian. I think we'll call that the rivalry to watch out for this year.
We'll have to see if Christian locks in lead or not after this tournament. We'll see how they do.
That's true. I don't know who anybody's playing with this year other than Catherine and Jack Sock.
Well, on the note of predictions, obviously the Dink is about to do the Dink Awards, and so let's get your guys' take on some of these hot topics.
Yeah, so we'll just do a select few categories here, and I want you to make your picks, okay? Because we have all the candidates assigned, and we'll release voting here soon so that all the fans can vote.
Do I get to know the candidates?
Yeah, I'm going to read them to you. So let's do a couple of these categories here. So the first one I want to do is the most influential voice, okay? So this is somebody in 2023 who, when they talked, they made waves. It got the conversation going and had an impact on the broader pickleball landscape. So I'll read you the names, okay? Jill Braverman. Zane Navratil, congrats, good for you. Jimmy Miller, Leah Jansen, Tim Parks, ooh. Travis Rettenmeier.
We're missing one.
Who?
Dylan Frazier.
Dylan Frazier. What has he said?
He had a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, this isn't just who had a podcast.
Oh, that's a good one. Are you gonna give your vote as well?
I'll give mine. I think, I would say it's got to be Jilly B. She, for better or for worse, said some things this year that, you know, dominated the conversation and did some things this year that dominated the conversation. So her and her podcast, I would give that to her. Mm-hmm. But I think Tim Parks as well, but behind the scenes, you know?
For sure. I mean, he's very influential behind the scenes. I don't know. I think I would lean towards, it's most influential?
Yeah, so Jill Braverman, Zane Navratil, Jimmy Miller, Leah Jansen, Tim Parks, Travis Rettenmeier.
Well, I think of, you know, influential meaning like getting something done, right? And if you want to talk about influential, I think that Jimmy has probably had the biggest, he probably has the most listeners. But I think in terms of influence, I think we've been the result of a bunch of different rule changes. We've been the result of a bunch of different like changes to the game, to the format. We talked about the progression draw. We talked about serves in general. We talked about challenge systems. I mean, we had a bunch of rule change implemented that were implemented into Major League Pickleball. But I would probably vote, I think Jimmy and Tyler, obviously, Jimmy, they break a lot of news.
Yeah.
But he's kind of fallen under Big Pickle. Big Pickle's got to Jimmy a little bit. I'm just going to say it.
In the pocket.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did nominate you for an award. I don't know if you saw the King of the Court podcast.
Yeah, apparently I'm worse dressed. What's I need to hear the justification for this. What else was said about this? Do we know?
No, I didn't listen. No.
Oh, so they did best dressed for the women and worst dressed for the men, and just some of the outfits I guess you come up with. they showed a one picture, and that was pretty much all the justification they had.
Roasted, dude.
I want to see what this one picture is.
Yeah,
I'll pull it.
Me too.
I had a really good. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I played with Jeff Warnick one time in like late 2020, and I had these Wilson shoes that were like green, purple, blue, red with green laces. I wore my leggings. I wore my UW Whitewater shorts, which were blue and purple with a Warhawk on them. I had this like long, shaggy looking hair, and I had a white t-shirt that was just a shirt that had Jeff Warnick on it. And I looked like a freaking bum off of the street. So I think in 2020, maybe, but you don't like the Pro XR shirts? I wear Pro XR and Fury. Like, what's wrong with that?
I think you're pretty middle of the road. I wouldn't have put you in that category.
I mean, we got JW out there cow pants.
Dylan's probably in.
Dylan wears the same sweatshirt for 3 weeks at a time.
Colin Schick, no offense, nothing seems to fit him right.
Well, you want to talk about Colin Schick? Let's talk about James Ignatowicz. His shirt's down to his knees.
I met Connor Garnett. Yeah, dude. Bro, that's called Stees, okay? That's Stees? The Cali Stees, yeah.
I don't know if you can see that photo. I'll pass that in.
Yeah, it's not.
Are we going into my personal life here? Oh, that's
it's not great.
I'm wearing not pink great. Swim trunks. I'm sure we can find. Somebody made a good comment about Jimmy. He looks like he's showing up to his court order where he's about to meet his public defendant in that suit that's three times too big for him.
Yeah, dude, good. Get him. Don't take it lying down.
No, right, I mean, I'll take bad. It. If I deserve it, I'll take it. But.
Okay, let's.
I don't even know where they found that picture of me now.
I will say easily the most swaggy player on tour, in any tour, in pro pickleball is Megan Fudge. Her outfits, every time I'm like, that's sick. Side note. Anyway.
Okay, well, we're not going to discuss that at all.
She better be in best dressed. Okay, she is in best dressed.
Okay, we'll get a chance to talk through that.
We can do that category if we want. Let's do most improved player. So, Fed, Pablo, Christian, Hayden, Connor Garnett.
I'd probably go to Christian. Just had a lower starting point at the beginning of this year. Like Fed, Pablo, Hayden, they've all improved a ton. Connor, they've all improved a ton. But Christian was probably. It's got to be either Christian or Connor. I think Christian's had a little bit better results this year, so I'll give it to Christian.
Okay, and then we'll go best dressed: Annalee Waters, Megan Fudge, Paris Todd, Tyson McGuffin, Travis Rettenmeier. Travis just wears crazy outfits.
And I'm voting for Travis. He's got the Sunday Swagger shirts; those are dope.
Well, that adds up because that picture we just showed of you was like basically right up his alley. Those shorts.
Yeah, you like those?
Wild. Yeah,
I'll go with Travis. I like the Sunday Swagger shirts.
Yeah,
they had some pretty sweet custom MLP shirts coming out. I saw those at the Dallas event. I don't know if you saw those.
Is it the Florida Smash ones?
There were a few actually. The Heart Eights looked really good. A bunch of dice.
I didn't see the Heart Eights ones.
They're supposedly coming out with one per team, so it should be something to keep an eye.
Are they official? Are they the official like clothing sponsor of MLP?
Which brand?
Sunday Swagger.
Oh, I don't know.
They always have a booth. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
though.
They were definitely a sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Travis looks swaggy.
Jamie, you pick the last category that we'll do.
Last category.
And there's many more categories, by the way. We're just not going to go through every single one. Don't do the one you're hovering over right now.
No. Do it. I don't know what it is, but do it.
Let's go best on-air personality. So we have Dave Fleming, Dominique Catalano, Adam Stone, Michelle McCann, and Cameron Blackwood.
I'm going to go off script for this one. I wish I had reviewed this category. I think Matt Manassi should be on here, and I would give it to him. I think he's emerged as somebody who I like listening to on the broadcasts. Mm. What about you?
I like Dave Fleming for his...
He's the idiom king.
He's the what?
The idiom king.
I mean, I just like him for his unintended sexual innuendo.
Yeah,
I listen that too. To that like a third grader. I'm like,
yeah. Well, memes always calls him out.
Oh, for sure.
It's Dave Fleming's Wild and Again.
Dave Fleming. I like Stoney. I think Stoney does a really good job of a mix of comedy, but he actually knows what he's talking about. Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go Stoney.
Yeah,
but
I like that call. Good call. Okay. We will be releasing the Dink Awards next week, so make sure to vote. By voting, you enter a giveaway for any paddle you choose. And there's some really great grants. So like for a content creator award, I think you win $1,000 or $2,000 if you win that. A lot of great people creating content, and you know, there's a bunch of other categories that'll be really cool. So make sure to vote. The Dink Awards will be releasing that next week.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, you made some predictions regarding the serve, but there have been some USAP rule changes regarding the carry. You want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, I think from what I understand, basically if you double hit it, whether it's intentional or unintentional, the point's just over now. It right. just doesn't count. Which it's going to ruin Jack Monroe's career.
That clip he put up, maybe we'll clip this out, but of him doing the around the back, I've never seen that before. That was pretty sick, but that would be illegal now.
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
I think we just need to go, okay, we've gotten rid of the double hit issue. Now you should be able to hit it with whatever body part you want. Because
like a header.
Yeah. The issue was like, okay, well, if you hit it with your hand, you can just kind of sort of catch it on your hand and push it over.
Right. Who was doing that? Was that Shea who would like have his
Yeah, he would hit it with his, like, yeah, his other, he'd have the hand touching the paddle so that it's part of the paddle, and then he'd just be hitting it with his left hand.
Yeah.
Just that. My guy likes to stir the pot with the rules as much as I do.
Yeah, you and him.
But yeah, now that we've gotten rid of the double hit, we might as well just be able to like kick it over, head it over. Can you imagine how sick it would be if you just got nailed in the chest, but you like puffed your chest out and sent it back over?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be pretty epic.
People leaning into body bags. That'd be interesting. I think this is going to be one of those changes that leads to a ton of discrepancies. There's going to be a lot of arguments on the court.
Yeah.
I think a lot of amateurs don't realize that this is going to be going away. It happens like decently frequently.
For sure.
Right?
The little sort of catch and throws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think it's anything the referee is going to be able to enforce. It almost always happens on these really quick exchanges. I don't think any ref's going to see it.
Yeah. It also like often it's not visible, but you can like hear it, you know, and then you're gonna have an argument about like what you heard. I don't know. I think there's just gonna be a lot of like weird moments, especially at the amateur level, if there's nobody to enforce it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder what the intent of that rule is. Is there a rationale for why they decided to get rid of it?
I don't know, maybe because people are doing actual carries like Jack Monroe. I mean, in theory, like the way the rule stood, you could like intercept the ball as it's coming to you and like wrap your paddle around. Like if you practice that, could basically like lacrosse it.
Well, I guess what we have written down here is we need to explain the difference between a carry and a double hit. Rule 7L now makes catching or carrying the ball on the paddle a fault without having to determine that the catch or carry was deliberately done.
Mm.
Okay. So it doesn't matter whether it's deliberate, but a double hit is permissible if the player hits the ball twice in a continuous single direction stroke.
Okay.
If they hit it twice with more intention, it's a fault. So I don't know how this changes anything actually now. It says that a carry is illegal, but a double hit, if they hit in a single continuous stroke, is still legal. So I guess I'm confused about how this is actually a rule change. It sounds like it's the same thing.
You would need a camera to be able to see this, I think.
Yeah.
So a carry, maybe that's like you hit it like 3-4 times, but a double hit is? I don't know.
No, it's like when the ball like rolls across the paddle face while you're swinging.
Sure.
And then like it comes off the...
Isn't that essentially just the same thing as a double hit? I mean, like, how can you differentiate between the two?
Right, that's... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, if you are looking for more clarity on the catch or carry or double hit rules for 2024, you will need to go elsewhere.
Yeah, go to another podcast. Okay, and then the other one is this, you know, correcting the server. So no longer a fault, which used to be a fault, which means, I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, some people are like really adamant about like, okay, if you're going to be stacking and you're going to be doing all that, you better be able to keep track of it. And if you can't and it slows out of the game, that's a fault on you. Now that's not the case anymore. So it's essentially a replay.
What do you think?
I'm indifferent on this one. It definitely is annoying. Like every once in a while you play it, you probably don't have to deal with this a lot, but like in amateur matches, you play against these teams who want to stack but don't know how to stack, and it becomes this like whole debacle. Totally.
Oh yeah, I've played against a team like that. It's called, they're Neil and Jerry.
Yeah. it's so obnoxious. So I think in that circumstance, it's good if they're penalized for it because it discourages it, unless you really know what you're doing. But yeah, I don't, kind of indifferent on it.
Yeah, I think that keeping score and remembering where you are is should be a skill. Like, I don't know. You don't want points ending that way, but you also can't have somebody asking a million different questions. Like, maybe you can ask, I don't know. I don't have a huge issue with it. I just wish people would remember the score.
All right, we've been going an hour. So what final topic should we do, Jamie?
I think the most interesting, well, there's two that would be great to touch on, honestly. Real quick, let's just jump down to the Arizona Pickleball League. It looks like they have a new camera angle to determine line calls. And they tagged Kyle Salinko on Twitter, or X, tagged a bunch of different people in it. Right. And it is truly showing the slowdown of the ball and skidding off the line. What do you guys think?
Yeah, this is actually my buddy Kyle from back home in Wisconsin. He runs Boxcar. He's done the Major League Pickleball Challenge system as well as their production, and I think he's involved in Arizona Pickleball League. But I think everything so far has been on, the way that I understand it, everything so far has been on 120 frames per second, and I think he got it up to 240, so he's doubled it, which, you know, makes a huge difference when, you know, how many times have we seen these challenges where it's like, okay, you know, the ball is above the court here and it's above the court there in the next frame.
So is this just a faster frame rate?
I think there's more to it, but I think that's the main element of it. I'll have to actually ask him, but like I've seen it and he's showed me clips of it, and it is so much better than previous stuff. You really actually seem to see where the ball is contacting the court. It seems to be enough frames to know exactly where the ball is contacting the court.
Right. I guess I would want to see this in like normal speed, because I don't know if this is like, if they just lobbed this, right? Or if this is like a hard forehand. It's
mm-hmm.
So like, I'm not really sure. But yeah, okay. So it turns out we need cameras with faster frame rates.
Big shock.
Breaking. but yeah, I guess it's good.
I think I'm not tech savvy enough to fully talk about it, but I think there's he explained it to me. I didn't understand it well enough, and that's on me, but I think there's more to it than just more frames.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what that is.
Sure.
It's proprietary.
Sure.
Well, yeah, we'll put it that way. It's proprietary.
Sure. Okay. All right. I think that's all we got for this week. Try and get a guest for next week. We'll have Jamie back in the studio.
Ooh, hey, if anybody is still listening to this, who do you guys want to see on the podcast? Who do we want to talk to?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Leave a comment, and that also enters you into the comment thing, right?
Yep.
For the paddle giveaway.
Two for one.
We've got a paddle giveaway. Let us know who you want to see on the next podcast or on future podcasts.
Cool. All right. That's Pickle Pod. Later. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, dollar has gone on Yagi.